me an opportunity. It gave me an opportunity just to see how things have progressed for me in this program. And I want to welcome everybody here today. And this story is just my story. It's my opinion. It's not the opinion of Depressed Anonymous. And I just encourage you to take what you like and leave the rest. And I'm open to, if you want to contact me later, if you have any questions or anything, and I can leave my email in the chat box after I speak. So I first came to Depressed Anonymous in somewhere around 2000, 2001 or two. I really not sure, but I was on sick leave from work from my second clinical depression, and I hit bottom. I was just sick and tired of feeling sick and tired on the couch, living on the couch and in my bed. And so I, like many of us here, I went online and I found Depressed Anonymous, and there was no virtual meetings then. And so I got in contact with Hugh and got the book. I didn't get the workbook. I don't know if the workbook was out then or not, but anyway, and myself and a friend of mine started the, I'm in Ottawa, Ontario, in Canada. And so we started a meeting, a Depressed Anonymous meeting, the first one here in Ottawa, in Canada, actually. And it went for 5 years. And for 10 years, I was free of depression. The DA program helped me to recover from depression, and I was free from depression for 10 years until I decided to go off medication. So after 5 years, we closed the meeting because it didn't seem to take off. And myself and my friend were in another 12-step program, and we thought, we'll be okay. We'll just, use the DA information and not get depressed. And so then I came back to DA 3 years ago, actually yesterday. I got in touch with Hugh again, and he told me that there was now a Skype meeting. So the Skype meeting had started November 2018, and our wonderful member here, Kim, is the person who started that wonderful Skype meeting. And I'm so grateful that Kim did that. And so in January, I went to my first meeting and I met Kim and another member, and they just gave me so much hope. I just was built up by the hope that they gave me that I could get well. And I looked forward to that meeting every Sunday for quite a while. And I started reading the book. And I read the book every day, page or two or a paragraph or whatever. I started at the beginning and I read the book every day, and I read it a couple of times. But I didn't read the entire book. I really loved the first three paragraphs. Well, even the introductory, like up to the first three paragraphs. I really, really loved them, and I reread them. And what else did I do? The stories in the back of the book. I went and I read some of the stories. And one of the stories, I have the old edition of the DA book. I have the new one here somewhere, but I didn't look up. It's story number 21, and it's called Today's Hope. And or it could be 24 or something in the new book, I'm not sure, but it's called Today's Hope. And so I read that every day. When I found that story, I read that every day. Someone's nodding their head. I think they probably found it too. And because it talked about living with hope. And I never had hope until I came to DA. And so in order to keep that going every day, I just reread, those couple of suggestions that she has. that I can, you know, affirmations really, like I can live today with hope or something like that. I don't have it written down here, but anyway, so I started to get better, started to feel better. And I started to practice what some of the real gems in the DA book talked about and that I related to. And one of the biggest ones was that motivation follows action. And I never knew that before I came to DA. I always thought, okay, I got to wait till I feel like doing something, which, you know, didn't happen, right? And so then I realized, then I learned, okay, so the motivation follows after I take the step. So you hear lots of people say, oh, yes, I went for a walk. I didn't want to go. When I came back, I just felt so much better. Well, that's what motivation is. Motivation follows action. I don't feel like doing the dishes, so I'll just start with, you know, the knives and the forks. And before you know it, I got the dishwasher unloaded. Once you change the way you think, you can
Sorry, you're muted, Tish. We can't hear you. Tish, we can't hear you. Is anyone else having trouble hearing Tish? Okay, Tish, we can't hear you.
Tish? Yeah, I can't hear her.
Tish, we can't hear you.
Me either.
Mark and I.
Yeah.
Okay, my daughter might be on her.
Can hear you now. Just heard you.
Might be on her eye. Her AirPods, maybe. I don't know if that's interfering.
I can hear you now.
You're just coming in very very softly. It's hard to hear you, but we can hear you.
Is it better?
Can't hear you now.
Yep.
You can change the way you feel. It's like, okay. So one of the things I've known about myself through other 12-step programs is, you know, one of my biggest character defects is self-condemnation, self-criticism, self-loathing, whatever you want to call it, right? Being hard on myself. I've known that for years. Really haven't been able to change it in a big way until I came to DA. So I learned that in changing the negative thinking, a lot of my thinking comes from my early childhood. So in the DA book, it talks about page 45 in the third edition, let go of the original pain that drives our depression and it will gradually melt away. So, I mean, I can't just, you know, let go of the pain. I can't just say, okay, I'm going to let go of that. I got my claws into it. I got to do much more work than just say, let go and let go of the pain. First, I needed to identify what is the original pain. And so lucky for me, I'm in other 12-step programs and have been in other 12-step programs. So I know a lot of my pain originates from my childhood, the trauma that I went through in my childhood growing up with alcoholic parents. And also my mom was a compulsive overeater, a food addict. And I've dealt with that over the years in different ways, but this now is, you know, triggered again by, again, another depression. This is my fourth depression that I've been recovering from. And so I know through step work, as well as getting in touch with, you know, talking to others and getting in touch with, you know, what are those negative thoughts that, you know, we or I criticize myself all the time. And that's what drives the depression. So when I don't criticize myself, I'm happy and I'm not depressed. So I started learning how to undepress myself by monitoring my thoughts, journaling. I've journaled for years, so journaling wasn't new for me. So step work wasn't new for me, writing out my resentments. I'm angry at Mary Jane because she stepped on my toe and it makes me feel rawr. So whatever it is. And it teases out the process of writing teases out my thoughts, right? Because even though I'm angry at you, you remind me of my sister or my brother or my mother, and my mother used to step on me all the time emotionally, and it reminds me of my mother. And then I go into all this stuff about my mother, and then I get into how I feel. Like, I feel rejected by my mother, I feel abandoned, I feel criticized, and blah, blah, blah. And so then I get to tease out what those wrong beliefs are. So some of my beliefs are I grew up with feeling definitely that there was something wrong with me. I got the message that there's something wrong with me. My parents never said it to me verbally, but I got that message loud and clear. There's something wrong with me. I'm not good enough. I'm stupid. I'm not lovable, I'm not acceptable, I should know a lot more than I do, and I should be doing things a lot better than I'm doing, and I should be perfect, and I shouldn't be afraid, and I have to suppress my anger, and it's not okay to express my anger, it's not okay to take care of myself, it's not okay to speak up. And all those messages that I grew up with, that Depressed Anonymous helped me to really zone in on those messages and to reframe them. So this is how I learned to undepress myself. And so the wonderful thing first when I came to DA years ago is that, oh my God, like, nobody told me I can undepress myself. Like, I had to just take medication and just live with it, right? And or not take medication and just be mildly depressed or chronically depressed or whatever. But I can depress myself through the 12 steps of this program. And so I'm here to say that, yeah, that's absolutely possible. And so ruminating. So I didn't know the word ruminating until I first came to DA. And that's exactly what I did. I used to, and still do, I would go over an event, whether it was 50 years ago, 20 years ago, yesterday, last week, doesn't matter. I dredge up this old crap, and I go over it over and over and over in my mind. And it's just a loop, negative loop, that I can't seem to get out of, because I'm trying to figure out what happened, but I'm really not knowing that I can get out of this loop. It just spirals down, like I spiral down to the depression, then I pick up another event or another thing about myself that I can bash myself about, and another situation, and it just gets into this whole binge of negative thinking, and I could do that for days. And coming to Depressed Anonymous the second time, I knew that I ruminated, but I didn't know, I wasn't practicing the DA program. But it was a big word for me when I first came in. And I blamed myself for my depression. I shouldn't have, whatever, I should have, whatever. And if this, you know, this wouldn't have happened, and da da da. And so in blaming myself, because I'm trying to learn about the steps. So step one says, I'm powerless over my impression of it. I didn't want to admit that I was powerless. There's no freaking way I'm powerless over depression. Like, you can't tell me that. There's something I got to be able to do. I should have been able to do this before I came to DA. And so I hated that. I hated that I was powerless. And so now I can say that I'm recovering from depression. But when I first came into DA, it's like, no. Or that I am depressed. Like, I didn't want to admit that I was depressed. Even though I knew I was depressed, I didn't want to admit it. I didn't want to take responsibility for it. And so as I worked through the steps and I got to step four and I started writing about my resentment I had about the depression, and I just want to say that I dug out my old journal. I still have my journal from when I first came to DA. And I just realized that last night or the other day. And so, like, I had some step work, and I just want to read a little bit to you from January 2019. I hate being depressed. I hate taking medication, struggling with my energy, being tired all the time, being on sick leave, feelings coming up and afraid to feel them. Not knowing where this is all going, the unknown, not being sure of things or myself, how I'm going to get better. I'm so effing angry. I hate it. And then I just go on and on and on and on. And then when we do step work, when we do step four, we get into, I got into my feelings, how I felt shame and all this stuff and hopeless and helpless and how it affected me, my self-esteem, my emotional security, my personal relations. And then I say a prayer. I say this prayer often to help me have some compassion for myself. Is I ask my higher power to help me show myself the same pity, patience, and tolerance I would cheerfully grant a sick friend. Now, I have never made up this prayer. This prayer comes from somewhere else. But it's really, really helped me to have some compassion for myself about whatever situation I'm talking about. And then after a couple of days, a week, a couple of hours, whatever, when I feel that shift of, you know, from resenting to some self-compassion, I look at what I'm afraid of. So I was afraid of not getting better, not forgiving myself, making a mistake by believing I'm not a permanent sufferer of depression. I'm afraid what it means to accept my depression. And so when I wrote those fears, I say another prayer. Asking my higher power to remove my fear and direct my attention to what she would have me be. And it's not what she, my higher power, would have me do, but what she would have me be. So I would say that prayer and I would look at the fears and then I would say, okay, I'm afraid I'm not going to get better. So I need to be in today and to be dependent on my higher power. And other answers I got was to be prayerful, to be true to myself, and so on. So that's just an example of some step work I did several years ago, and I continue to do on a regular basis. And then I start living in the solution of being in today, praying, being prayerful, having doing prayer meditation every day. And which, again, I already did that before I came to DA, but now it has a different flair to it because I'm focusing on recovering from depression. I didn't take my glasses with me. And also when I came into DA, there's another line, I think it's in step one, page 30, when we feel depressed, we feel dependent on all of the forces that act on us and our environment. And that's exactly how I felt with depression. I remember when I first got depression, I felt like it was a flu and it was just going to go away. And that didn't happen. And then later with other depressions, I just felt like wherever the wind was going to blow, that's where I was going, right? I felt like I had no control over where I was going. I had no rudder in my sailboat, right? I couldn't control the direction. And I was dependent on all the forces that act on me and my environment. And then I learned that by admitting that I was depressed, doing the steps, taking the action, reading the book, come to meetings, you know, practicing all the tools, I started to regain some self, I started to learn how to undepress myself, and I started to feel better. So like I use you, if you've been at meetings where I've been or you know me, like affirmations are a huge part of my daily recovery because I have to constantly be retraining my brain to think differently. And it requires a lot of work. And it's almost like getting sober or clean from a substance or something, right? It's like constantly saying I'm powerless. I'm going to be okay. You're doing the very best you can. Where's my affirmations? And I got a lot of these from the DA book and from other places, but choose to begin to feel better. So I have a choice, reminding myself, I have a choice and I can be happy no matter what. So my mom, she's in a nursing home and I was talking to her a little while ago. And whatever it was, you know, I get triggered by her a lot. I get worried. I want to take care of her. I'm really far away from her. I'm a couple of provinces over. I'm thousands of miles away from her. So I got off the phone and I was really upset about whatever I was reacting to in that conversation. And so one of my affirmations these days is I can be happy no matter what. So I reminded myself, it's like, doesn't matter what's going on with mom, I can still be happy. And so then my thinking started to change. I can begin to live with hope. I think that comes from that story. One of my favorite ones is I do not have to worry. And every time I say that or read that, my shoulders just go down, my insides relax, because I instinctively worry about everything. And so when I say that daily, it's like, oh, geez, I didn't even know I was worrying about this or I was worrying about that or whatever, right? Another one of my favorites is meditate on the positive. So every day when I get up and I do my prayer, I do some writing. So I write a letter to my higher power and then I write a letter from my higher power. I write a gratitude list and I also write a positive list for today. So what are the positive things that I have going on today? And then I'll think of them and then I'll think more about them or just look forward to them. And it's shifting my thinking. And another favorite one of mine is be comfortable with feeling uncomfortable. So when I'm feeling uncomfortable, I just want to like not feel it. I don't want to feel uncomfortable. I don't want to feel that. My sister-in-law passed away in September and I'm having a really difficult time grieving that. And my husband, it's his sister, he's saying, you know, he's got some new pictures that his sisters have sent him. Do you want to see some pictures of Jesse? No, I don't want to see pictures of Jesse. We did this, you know, blah, 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 video of Jesse. Do you want to see? No, I don't want anything to do with Jesse. Because I can't go there. I don't want to feel that grief and I don't want to feel those feelings. I had done some step work on it and writing, but it's still a very, very difficult thing for me to process. And so to me, it's all about reframing my thinking. And the steps help me to reframe my thinking. The literature, reading the literature, coming to meetings, learning what is it, what is the original pain for you? What is it, the original pain for you? I just want to read you something that I wrote not that long ago. Last month I wrote it. And it's about forgiveness. And so, like, forgiveness is a process, as and sometimes, yeah, forgiveness is a process. However, I can say, yeah, I forgive you. So I'm currently praying for my sister every day since January 10th for 21 days or however long it takes, saying, I love you, I forgive you, and I bless you. And I'm also praying for everything that I want for myself for her. And so I've done this with my parents and other people in my life. And so I don't know where I was in the process with this, but I wrote something to my dad in my journal. It says, I think I can get through this without crying, but, you know, until right now, I didn't think it was going to be a hard thing, but it might be. But anyway, I'll read it to you. I forgive you, Dad. It's okay you weren't there for me emotionally and didn't give me any affection. I know your rage had nothing to do with me. You went through your own childhood trauma. And then I just mentioned some things about his trauma. And I know you were affected by the abuse and being emotionally abused by your mother. Her rage had nothing to do with you. I understand that now. I forgive you, Dad. I forgive you. And then the next line, I'm going to do the same with my mom. Mom, I forgive you for your constant criticism, control, perfectionism, addictions, and abuse. I know you were affected by Dad's drinking and workaholism, his verbal abuse and neglect, his emotional unavailability, your own childhood traumas, your own codependency on Dad, and wanting to take care of him. None of these things had anything to do with me. I forgive you for affecting me with the effects of your trauma, your alcoholism, compulsive eating. I understand now it was your stuff. I forgive you for all the mistakes you made, for the times you criticized me. Sorry. And so on and so on. I forgive you, I forgive you. And I also am able to see the wonderful things about my parents as well. And so yeah, that wasn't so bad reading that. I'm just going to talk for a couple more minutes. I think I've got about 3 minutes left. So I've seen the progress in my recovery. And I just want to give you some examples of it since the fall, since September. I was home visiting my family, and I dealt with some really difficult things when I was home, and dealing with another sister who was angry at me, being able to apologize to her for my part in it, dealing with a contractor who was not treating me well and not using his service anymore, having heard over the past year or so, having hard conversations with another two sisters, stepping back from my mom and my sister that I'm praying for, stepping back and stepping back from controlling, separating myself from them, and regaining my own integrity in the relationships. And so that feels really, really good. Oh yeah, I wanted to, something I forgot to tell you. In the DA workbook, step one, it's question 1.4. How far back in time can you remember always feeling sad and wanting to withdraw from others? Well, that's the first time I ever thought about that question. And it was a huge, huge eye-opener for me. Because for the first time, I was able to say, since I'm 11 years old, I've been saddening myself. And I never, ever knew that. Through other Tantric programs, I learned that, you know, I was a negative thinker. I thought negatively about myself, but that's as far as it went. And but now I can say that since I can see, you know, how that started with the childhood trauma when I was 11 years old. My addiction started with food when I was 7. So I was feeling the pain at a really young age, but never, don't remember a lot of that stuff. So I think that's all I have to share.